I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fact. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com, where I'll have lots more news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and of course all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. That was a little bit more Merle, and we will get back to him a little later. This is Paul Fromm, and you are on the fighting side of me. Lots of interesting things happening right around the white world. Will we be getting a little closer to a repeal of Obamacare? I don't know. With the Speaker breaking the tie, it was 50 Republicans against 50 Democrats. Could that be right? I think there was somebody missing. Anyway, Senator McCain did make it in and voted to reopen the debate on Obamacare. That's not the final vote on Obamacare, but it will at least, I think, come be brought to the floor. Well, that's certainly something. That's significant. Obamacare has been a disaster, and the Republicans, almost to a man or woman, campaigned on the issue of repealing it. Well, they have their majority in the House, a narrow majority in the Senate, and they have a favorable president in the White House. If they fail to do it, it will certainly be seriously held against them. And I don't think that's any idle threat. Here's an interesting article by Larry Sharp. He's from Vancouver and always a shrewd observer of the human scene. And this is called Goodbye and Good Riddance, Mansbridge. Now, Peter Mansbridge had for almost forever and a day been the anchor of the CBC Nightly News. From the time when he was relatively young to now retirement age, when he's bald with just a tonsure fringe. And Larry Sharp, as I say, is a shrewd observer of the political scene from Vancouver. And this is what he writes. On Dominion Day, Canada's glorious leader, Trudeau, met CBC News anchor Peter Mansbridge on the national television and declared, "Thank you, Peter, for being a steady hand and a steady voice for all these years." Trudeau was really saying, "Thank you for being a quisling journalist, and thank you for helping a quisling leader like me with your steady propaganda, steady misinformation, steady omissions, and steady voice for the immigration lobby." Mansbridge had a steady hand, all right. That hand was held over the mouth of any ordinary Canadian who dared to challenge the CBC narrative. And that is so true. Mansbridge, as many Canadians know, Peter Mansbridge has resigned his position as the anchor of The National, Canada's nightly CBC news program. Actually, he's being replaced by a dumpy female, which is about what you'd expect in politically correct Canada. Anyway, okay. For years, he has helped to lead the CBC's policy of being the propaganda arm of Canada's immigration lobby. So let's remind all Canadians of the goals of the immigration lobby. One, to perpetuate Canada's completely senseless immigration intake, now at 305,000 per year, about 8 million since 1991. That's 3.5 times the population of Canada's largest city, Toronto, which, give or take, is about 2.5 million. The second goal of Canada's immigration lobby, to maintain the flow of huge profits to immigration lawyers, advocates, consultants, real estate agents, and ethnic groups. And three, to continue a social engineering experiment, Trudeau calls it diversity, that is conducted on Canada's majority population in order to make it a minority. Or, my words, not his, it's the population replacement of the European founding settler people. We're being replaced. By policy, not by accident, not by inadvertence, by policy. Let's make this even clearer. Like all CBC hacks, Mansbridge followed and enforced CBC law on immigration. No criticism should be tolerated on the CBC of Canada's immigration intake or such policies as multiculturalism. That CBC law, and don't forget, the CBC is the largest television broadcaster, not the largest radio, but it has radio outlets across the country as well. That CBC law was the virtual precursor of a law which Prime Minister Quisling Trudeau now wants to pass for all of Canada. No criticism will be tolerated of Islam, nor, I think, also of the LGBTQ sexually messed up minority. Even though one of Islam's biggest promoters, the Muslim Brotherhood, has clearly stated that its goal is to destroy Canada, and indeed to destroy all white Western countries. Let's make things clearer still. Not that long ago, Mansbridge hypocritically claimed that he did not choose the items that get shown on The National every night. The news made itself. Really? Okay. However, anyone who has a semblance of a brain concluded long ago that the CBC carefully chooses whom it interviews and makes sure that immigration views of those who are interviewed fit within the CBC worldview. Anyone who does not share those views will be censored. For instance, when was the last... this is Paul Fromm talking rather than... the author of this excellent piece, Larry Sharp. But when was the last time an immigration critic, for instance, like Dan Murray of Immigration Watch Canada was interviewed on the CBC? Or former ambassador to Syria and Cambodia, Martin Collicott, who's actually recently written a piece for the Vancouver Sun that questions this population replacement. That is, the replacement on the installment plan of the European founding settler people of Canada. When was he last interviewed, if ever? When was I interviewed? I have been a stable and out there immigration critic for over 30 years. I'm not hiding. You can reach me by telephone. My address is out there for all to see. You can email me. I am an available quantity. I'm on Facebook too, under Frederick Fromm. So it's not that I've been obscure. Why have such immigration critics as myself and Martin Collicott or Dan Murray of Immigration Watch Canada not being interviewed? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we do not fit the agenda. The CBC is not a news agency, outlet. It is a propaganda outlet. And, you know, if you've ever written for an in-house publication, let's say, you know, for your particular company, you don't promote the products of the opposition. Well, rightly so. It's in-house. You're rah-rah for your company and probably silent about the opposition. But that's what the CBC is. It's not a news outlet. It is a propaganda agency for the views of the anti-white ill Canadian elite. And back to Larry Sharp's critique. Recently on At Issue, the At Issue section of the National, Mansbridge belittled Conservative MP and then Conservative leadership candidate Kelly Leach, one of the tiny number of Canadian politicians who has had the backbone to evaluate Canada's immigration policies and found them lacking. Mansbridge carefully selected video footage which showed Leach advocating that immigrants should be screened for Canadian values. Obviously, she had supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood in mind. The journalists that Mansbridge chose to speak were the usual panel: Andrew Know-It-All Coyne, a pro-immigration man, Toronto's hack Chantal Hebert, and Diarrhea Althea Raj from North America's journalistic rag, The Huffington Post. Of course, all agreed with Mansbridge that no such screening should ever occur. In doing so, all reinforced the description of the CBC as Canada's official herd of independent thinkers. I mean, they all agreed. The only thing not typical about such a panel was the fact that they were not all Jews. In fact, I don't think any of the three. But that's the other thing. So much of the mass media presents us just a very, very narrow range of opinions. To even use the word thinker in a description of the CBC is quite a stretch. Most Canadians can see that the CBC has grown into a large number of deadbeats who parrot Trudeau's mindless diversity declarations and perform his degraded acts on newcomers in frontal view. Most Canadians have concluded that the abbreviation CBC really stands for Canada's Bootlicking Collective, or I would say the Communist Broadcasting Corporation. With taxpayers' money, they repeatedly and shamelessly throw their diversity and open borders views into the faces of Canadians. What is the damning evidence to substantiate such charges? It is everywhere on the CBC, but here are some examples. Mansbridge has regularly aired on the National the views of European correspondents Margaret Mush Evans and Nahia Ayed. Their deep compassion for the Third World, Africa and the Middle East particularly, supported unlimited numbers of migrants traveling into Europe. To both, the migrants' search for a better life could never make a worse life for citizens of the migrant receiving countries. Search for a better life could never possibly make a worse life for citizens of the migrant receiving countries. He also gave unlimited time to CBC hacks who reported from the U.S. They would troll the U.S. for examples of Native American nativism, supposedly to warn CBC-thinking Canadians of the dangers of American nativist thinking. That's nationalism and self-defense, migrating north into Canada. The notion that some foreigners might have hostile intentions for migrating to Western nations, and that the U.S., Canada, and all Western nations have a duty to protect their populations from these characters has to be suppressed, and is on the CBC. Well, worst of all, Mansbridge refuses to acknowledge that relentless immigration has produced countless negatives for Canada. One of those obvious negatives is that it has caused housing unaffordability in places like Metro Vancouver and Southern Ontario. Another major negative here is that migrants are outnumbering Canadians in many areas of Canada. By refusing to recognize that these are legitimate concerns for Canada and its official broadcaster to deal with, Mansbridge has helped to destroy the lives of many Canadians. His treachery did not end there. Throughout the past American election campaign, he declared open season by the national journalists on Trump for objecting to Mexican illegal immigration into the United States. In one recent case, he permitted CBC journalist Nick Purden to broadcast the incorrect notion that New York Statue of Liberty was built to welcome immigrants, and the view that Latinos were being harshly and unfairly treated with deportation orders by American immigration authorities. To Mansbridge and Purden, the fact that 10 to 20 million illegal Mexicans and others might have destroyed the working lives of equal numbers of working Americans was not worthwhile mentioning. Like all CBC hacks, Purden used the CBC camera to focus on the fear of illegals, not on those of Americans whose lives have been devastated by illegals. So it's always the poor illegal who's afraid of being turfed out and on how this would negatively impact his life. CBC bootlicking has gone on for years with Mansbridge and other CBC hacks. In fact, it evolved into a formula for ethnic hacks to follow. Show up with a turban, Muslim pajamas or scarf, a sad and fake refugee story, a brown or black face, a heavy accent, and a herd of CBC psychophants like Mansbridge would be on their knees to lick your boots. To add insult to injury, CBC hacks like Mansbridge expected Canadians to pay him an additional $50,000 per year and to give CBC $1 billion annually for broadcasting this idiocy. Worst of all, Mansbridge and his hacks expected Canadians to fall into line with them and imitate the CBC's quisling and parasitic behavior. In other words, they seriously set themselves up as models for other Canadians to imitate. Here are some final words for Mansbridge. You've helped to create an immigration hell in Canada. But understand one thing. Another hell was made for quislings and parasites like you and Trudeau. The sooner that you and he migrate there, the better off Canada will be. Goodbye and good riddance. And that's Larry Sharp. And this article was carried online by Immigration Watch Canada. Well, I can only say well written and well done. If you don't get... one thing, if you do not get my grams, and you would like some of these commentaries, just give me an email. My email is paul@paulfromm.com. Now, I have put out a gram just recently on the something I've reported before, and that was the the very successful memorial that the cafe held for Barbara Kalashka. Now, this was probably not supposed to. Well, the enemies of free speech did not want it to happen. And I'll go over the gram that I put out and some very nice comments. So if you do not would like to receive my almost daily commentaries, just email me at paul@paulfromm.com. That's P-A-U-L at P-A-U-L-F-R-O-M-M.com. Her enemies failed to stop memorial for Barbara Kalashka. Free speech won, censors nothing. On June 15th, we lost lawyer Barbara Kalashka to lung cancer at age 64. Barbara was one of the most important free speech lawyers of her generation. She worked closely with Douglas Christie in Zundel 2, that's the second Zundel false news trial, in the Zundel site case, and did fantastic work for Mark Lemire in fighting Richard Warman and getting Section 13 of the Canadian Human Rights Act, that was internet censorship, declared unconstitutional. However, the dark forces of thought control and censorship could not leave this formidable woman alone in death. Canadian Association for Free Expression organized a private memorial on July 12th at the Richtree branch of the Toronto Public Library. Word leaked out on July 10th. Enemies of free speech, like Warren Kinsella, a major antagonist in the Your Ward News mailing rights appeal, Richard Warman, many of whose libel victims she had defended, the usual Jewish pro-censorship groups, Bernie Farber, a former head of the Community Relations Director of the Canadian Jewish Congress, assorted street thugs, and even John Tory, Mayor of Toronto, demanded that the memorial be canceled. But, amazingly, the library hung tough and laid on extra security. A senior management sat in to make sure that there was no hate speech, whatever that is. And what a nation we've become. Metro Police sent three masked Antifa street urchins, one allegedly a masked female, packing. They wanted to get in, and they were told that they weren't going to get in looking like that. The emotional farewell proceeded quietly and respectfully. I will be posting some of the tributes that were given to or delivered to Barbara Kalashka at that meeting. The voices raised to cancel the meeting were marked by their vehemence and rage. Warren Kinsella, Toronto-based consultant and commentator who's a staunch opponent of yours truly, said public services are not supposed to be used to promote discrimination. What does that mean? A memorial promotes discrimination? You mean the person doesn't have a right to have a memorial for them? And this was the level of some of the objections. I mean, they're just nasty and mean-spirited. The library in Etobicoke was doing that, he told the CBC. How is honoring a dead person, a dead lady, discrimination? You'd suspect that such lack of logic from the Antifa street losers who'd suck too long on their crack pipes. It's truly shocking that individuals who spread hatred, deny the Holocaust, and have ties to neo-Nazi groups are being provided by a permit by the Toronto Public Library to host an event inside a public building, Councillor James Pasternak said. Those tied to hate and bigotry have no place in our libraries. Pasternak, who likely did not hail from County Tipperary, clearly supports political discrimination. He had no idea what was going to be said, but he says people who spread hatred. Who in that meeting had ever been convicted of spreading hatred under even our loosey-goosey laws. And why shouldn't a person who denies the claims of the so-called Holocaust or has ties to neo-Nazi groups? Well, who would those be? And what if we had ties to communist groups? You know, this is outright political discrimination and smearing. I mean, the Pasternak, I don't think, had any knowledge of people who were at that meeting. And it hadn't, when he was running his mouth, it hadn't even yet occurred. This is what passes for some of the opposition. And then, of course, Bernie Farmer, for years an executive with the Canadian Jewish Congress, and now a CEO with a pro-multicult outfit called Mosaic, who also seeks to have Your War New shut down, added his two shekels worth. And he said, in my view, Barbara Kalashka was, like her predecessor and colleague Doug Christie, a fellow traveler with those neo-Nazis, Holocaust deniers and hate mongers, for whom she acted as legal counsel. When the censorship efforts failed, longtime leftist Farber was still given a column in the right-wing, so-called right-wing, Toronto Sun, to moan and groan. He claimed he'd no longer feel safe in a library. Be prepared, folks, for this is only the beginning. Neo-Nazis, racist bigots, and bullies will now use Toronto libraries as their official meeting place. The libraries will no longer be that haven of calm, peace, and safety I so well remember as a child. Now, what he was going on about there was that he claimed when he was growing up in Ottawa, there were a lot of anti-Semites in the city, and they would make fun of him when he came home from school, but he found safety in the Ottawa Public Library, where he could read and so on. Whether this is true or not, I mean, who knows? But his point was, he no longer feels safe in a library. Why? And you know, this doesn't stand a second's worth of scrutiny. Now, if what he meant is that he feels physically unsafe, he's talking twaddle. The meeting that we held, the memorial for Barbara Kalashka, was not open to the public, was in a private room in the library, and would in no way affect or impede the use of the library by any other person. Mr. Farber could have snuck into the library, picked up a book, taken it to a seat or a desk, and read it entirely in peace. This is a lot of the over-the-top drama that the enemies of free speech whip up to try to promote censorship. Anyway, poor old Bernie will be scared to go into a library, or so he says. Beside itself that it hadn't been able to shut down the memorial, elements of the lamestream media took their revenge. The sleazy National Post on July 13 devoted almost a full page to the memorial. Its headline screamed, "Far-right extremist convergent memorial." The reporter wasn't there and chose to use the weaponized words to signal that the attendees were bad. And as if to illustrate this, there was a large picture of three goons in black masks. The caption read, "Three masked people stood outside the Richtree branch of the Toronto Public Library while a memorial for Toronto lawyer Barbara Kalashka was held." One reasonably could conclude that these thugs were guards or attendees. In fact, they were Antifa, anti-racist, anti-fascist, who'd shown up to protest and whom the police told to get lost. And not to be picky, Ms. Kalashka was not a Toronto lawyer. However, the controlled media has never let facts get in the way of a good smear. And the supposedly right-wing Toronto Sun on July 13th ran a rant by a reporter named Liz Braun. And it was entitled, "Don't Blame Library for Hate Gathering." But the only thing she said in there that was at all worthwhile was she did say the library, she said the library had no choice in permitting me. Okay, well, whether or not that's true, she said, well, they couldn't really discriminate. But and then she went on to just a wild denunciation of the people attending. The headline was, "Don't Blame Library for Hate Gathering." The headline was an outright lie. The memorial was not a hate gathering. Hate, sadly, is a criminal offense in this country. No one at the meeting has ever been charged, let alone convicted, for anything. Nor was anybody charged for anything said that night. It was not a hate gathering. The meeting was to celebrate the life of a brave, diligent woman, a great lawyer, Barbara Kalashka. It wasn't about hating anybody. Braun had not attended the memorial, but described the attendees as pathetic anti-Semites, anti-black, anti-female, homophobic, Islamophobic, etc., garden variety bigots. Nothing at the meeting was said criticizing blacks, homosexuals, or Muslims. Indeed, we were honoring a woman, but apparently we were anti-female. This is what I would call a rant, the sort of ill-natured, badly behaved screaming that a very out-of-control 5-year-old girl would launch when she doesn't get her way. If she's told that it's her younger brother's birthday and he's going to get presents and she's not because it's not her birthday, if she starts jumping up and down screaming, "He's a dirty pig, my parents don't love me, he's a dirty pig, his friends are blah, 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 blah," you would like to take that child, take her into the bedroom and give her bum a good spanking. That is about what I thought of Liz Braun's rant. It's not even rational. It's just a lot of name-calling. Well, this is Paul Fromm. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we had some very good responses. Let's see. Alexandra wrote, "I can't help but wonder if the accusers could be held liable for slander." By the way, I really find your posts interesting. Cheers. FW says, what does FW say? It's hard to see what he says. Jerry writes, "What a bunch of swine attacking free speech." I think there were some others, but we got a lot of good response. Well, I put out these grams almost daily on free speech and immigration. Sometimes they're ones I've written, sometimes they're written by others. But if you'd like to receive them, just email me at paul@paulfromm.com. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on whiteresistanceradio.com. I will be back in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to take a short musical interlude. And to start off that short musical interlude, well, actually, this is a song that was first brought to my attention by James Kelso. And, of course, he is with a co-host with me on a nightly show called The Trump Phenomenon, which is on Republic Broadcasting, rbn.org. Every weeknight, Monday to Friday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for 1 hour, The Trump Phenomenon. And this is a song by Merle called I'm a White Boy. Woo! Can't say that anymore. Well, it's a secret.
Some folks call me a rambling man. I do a lot of thumbing and kicking cans, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name. 'Cause daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't born and raised in no ghetto, just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Well, I'm out to find me a wealthy woman in a line of work that don't take no diploma. I ain't got much to lose, but got a lot to gain. Well, some might call me a good time fella. I ain't black and I ain't a yellow, just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Here, I don't want no handout living and don't want a part of anything they're giving. I'm proud and white and I got a song to sing. Well, I've said a few things and I'll admit it. If you want to get ahead, you got to hump and get it. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Hump and get it now. Little I like, get
guitars and I like a fiddle, and that's the kind of soul it takes to fan my flame. Well, I'm a blue-eyed Billy, kind of frail and ruddy, so I'll have to work to be somebody. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. I don't want no handout living and don't want to part of anything they're giving. I'm proud and white and I got a song to sing. Well, I've said a few things and I'll admit it. If you want to get ahead, you got to hump and get it. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing.
Merle Haggard, I'm a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. The sort of sturdy, self-confident nationalism we need a lot more of. And I've got to play another tune here I hope you like. This is called You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive. And this, honors the wonderful people of Appalachia, the coal miners, who lived in very considerable poverty to get the coal out of the earth. And this is quite autobiographical on Patty Loveless's part.
My grandfather was a coal miner, and my dad, he was a coal miner also. Actually, my whole family's life revolved around the coal mines. But in 1968, my dad decided to move us all to Louisville, Kentucky, in seek of medical treatment for black lung disease and many other medical problems that he had. Even though Daddy died in Louisville back in 1979, he, like the rest of them, never survived those mines. In the deep, dark hills of eastern Kentucky, that's the place where I traced my bloodline. And it's there I read on a hillside gravestone, you'll never leave Harlan alive. Oh, my grandfather's dad crossed the Cumberland Mountains. He took a pretty girl to be his bride. Said, won't you sun comes up, sun goes down. About 3 in the day, and you fill your cup. Whatever bitter brew you're drinking, and you spend your life digging coal from the bottom of your grave.
I think we have a bit of a gap here in the music. But here's a song. This is kind of bluegrass gospel with Sierra Hull, River Jordan. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on The Fighting Side of Me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Sierra Hull and River of Jordan. Hopefully, in the next couple of seconds.
To the River of Jordan, our Savior went one day, and we read that John the Baptist met him there. When John baptized Jesus in Jordan's rushing water, the mighty power.
I'm not quite sure why we're getting this. This is a kind of gap in the music, but
of God fill the air. I'm on my way
to the River of Jordan.
Gonna wait right
in the rushing water.
I'm going there.
I'm going down to the River of Jordan. And let the cool waters cleanse my soul.
Will the river
rushing water.
I'm going down.
I'm going down to the river of Jordan.
Sure why
I'm going down to the river of Jordan. Let the cold waters cleanse my soul.
Yeah. And that's Sierra Hall and the River of Jordan. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here at WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Here's a good story from Europe, and about part of the battle with arch-conspirator Viktor Orban. And just where has this thing gone here? Here we are. This is headlined, The Soros Plan, Hungary Rejects Brussels Court Demand for Forced Mass Migration. And that's what, of course, the followers of Richard Kudrnov-Kalergi want to impose on all of Europe. The replacement of the European founding settler people with as many blacks and Middle Easterners as possible to through miscegenation and just sheer force of numbers to change the population makeup. Hungary and Slovakia must take migrants from the third world, the Advocate General of Brussels top court said Wednesday, advising judges dismiss their case challenging the mandatory relocation scheme. The Visegrad nations argue that the European Union acted beyond its powers with the binding decision to redistribute 120,000 aliens currently living in Italy and Greece across the block, a move intended to take pressure off the nations most affected by the flood of arrivals, and those would be primarily Sweden, France, and primarily Germany. But in his opinion published today, Advocate General of the European Court of Justice, Yves Bot, unequivocally stated that judges at the ECJ, that's the European Court of Justice, should dismiss the actions brought by Slovakia and Hungary. They're trying to challenge the demand that they take in tens of thousands of these aliens, rather. The French official said the European Union treaties allow the adoption of such measures in situations identified as emergencies, and said that the migrant quota system was appropriate for obtaining the objective which it pursues. Well, it wouldn't be an emergency if they actually enforced the borders. If they took the invaders as they pour into Greece and Italy and towed them back to Turkey or Libya or wherever they came from and said, no, you are not getting in. Goodbye. Go away. He also rejected the arguments by Hungary and Slovakia that the plan should have been approved unanimously by European Union countries instead of being agreed to by a qualified majority. But Hungary has angrily rejected the demand, stating in forcing mass migration on unwilling European peoples. This was conformity with open borders advocate and billionaire funder George Soros' plan for the continent. I mean, he basically wants to replace whites. That's his goal. Dr. Zoltán Kovács, lead spokesman for the office of Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, told Breitbart News in London, we consider trying to enforce a decision that clearly was trying to go around the normal way of decision-making, not simply unlawful, but also dangerous to the order and security of Europe. He added that in the Hungarian government's view, quote, it's unacceptable and untenable that the European Union continue to follow a path that that has already failed. Hungarian Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Peter Szijjártó, also slammed the European Union court's advice, saying it fully matches the process known as the Soros Plan. He said, following George Soros' reception in Brussels with the pomp and ceremony usually only reserved for heads of state, every European institution has interestingly placed even greater pressure on Hungary and the countries of Central Europe to allow in illegal immigrants. We do not want to accept illegal immigrants. We will wait for the court's decision. We continue to interpret the decision on the mandatory resettlement quota as a decision that contravenes European law. A decision of this nature cannot be used to remove any member state's right to decide for itself to whom it will allow entry to its territory and to whom it will not. The European treaties clearly state that this right cannot be taken away. The decision also goes against common sense because it only serves to encourage illegal immigration in view of the fact that it is seen as an invitation by those who would like to set out for Europe in search of a better life, and also by people smugglers who can use the fact to convince people that it's worthwhile setting off for Europe, of course, with having paid them a big chunk of change. The primary task, duty, and responsibility of Hungary's government is to protect the security of the country and of the people of Hungary. And accordingly, it will continue to do everything in its power to ensure that illegal immigrants cannot come here. Now, there is a diligent, conscientious, patriotic government. What does it say its duty is? And this ought to be nailed over the door of every government office. The primary task, duty, and responsibility of Hungary's government is to protect the security of the country and of the people of Hungary, not to enable more third worlders or others to invade. The European Court of Justice ruling is expected later this year. That comment was made by one of the judges. While the court's not obliged to follow the advice, most Luxembourg judges follow the recommendations of their Advocate General. Hungary, Slovakia, Romania, and the Czech Republic voted against the measure in 2015, and has since been backed by Poland in their opposition to having Brussels force migrants or illegals from Africa and the Middle East on unwilling nations. A Hungarian base on the southern border providing accommodations for soldiers deployed to protect nations from migration. Slamming the scheme on Tuesday, Czech Secretary for European Union Affairs Aleš Schmelar told Eurocity TV, Euractiv news network, that the European Union must secure the continent's borders before demanding nations welcome quotas of what could be effectively an endless influx of people from the third world. Last month, the European Commission launched legal proceedings against Hungary, Poland, and the Czech Republic for refusing to take part in the scheme to redistribute migrants. That is basically to spread out the invading illegals. Wonderful. And just a short little news item. Celebrities melt down over Trump's transgender military policy. What did Trump do? Trump announces a ban on transgender people in the U.S. military. Well, duh! Reversing the absolute homosexual sucky friendly policies of Barack Hussein Obama, and long overdue. I mean, what role should the transgender play in the military? Well, they should play none at all. The military is for soldiers, not for deluded freaks. One wonders what potential enemies or rivals like Red China must think of any military that would even seriously consider the transgender. Nutty. Absolutely flipping nutty. Great decision by President Trump. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern Time, and the show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All of these are Eastern Standard Time, And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever, played, I think, tonight, I hope, I'm not sure of this, anyway, the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me, here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. And it'll take us a couple of seconds to get this to rise up, or to come on, but here we go.
In days of yore, from Britain.